Niksha, what does Niksha mean? Niksha means Nun Gimel Dalet. What's the word Nigid means? Hamshacha. Hamshacha means to pull. Shemamshich es oivarim min ha'eshes. You pull the limbs from the eshes. Lekan ulekan ba'akosha sakurnas. L'shon Niksha maka sakurnas belas. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the word miksha, according to Rashi, see this is, in the previous Rashi. Rashi says, what does it mean miksha tahasam nara? He says two things: makish the cornice, and then he writes vichoy seich, and you cut. Rashi says two things. In this Rashi, it says miksha ketargumoy negid. The word miksha means, I always thought miksha means you go and you cut away. See, it's Baruch Hashem only in your zuchus. Okay, is we have all your supposed to, we learn together something much deeper. Miksha doesn't mean to cut. Miksha means to pull. For example, I don't know if anyone ever here had experience doing safras, to write a Sefer Torah, to write a Megillah. Once upon a time in my younger years, I invested heavily in learning how to write safras. I took a course. Ooh. How come no one told me I'm on mute? How come no one told me that I'm on mute? I was talking for 10 minutes over here. No one told me I was on mute. Okay. We're back in business here. I'm sorry. You didn't hear what I was saying. Okay. I read the whole Rashi for 5 minutes. Okay. Going back to this Rashi with a miksha. I'm over here miksha. Targumai means nogid. Nigid means to pull. L'shon amshacha. Shemamshich eso ivarim. You pull the limbs, the varim and the eshes from the mass of gold. L'kan l'kan ula hakoshes hakornis. L'shon miksha makas kornis. K'modol l'do nokshon bank. Now, this is a very important yisoy, what Rashi over here is saying. This Rashi has to be understood together with the previous Rashi, where it's Rashi there says, machtich makish the kornis. And then he says, v'choysich v'chlihu monos. Let's explain. Once upon a time, I spent a lot of time learning how to write stam, Sifrei Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos. Okay, a course in Ksivas Ha'isias. It's a fantastic course. It costs a lot of money. And you know, there's the halacha and there's umnes. They teach you the halachas. They spend a lot of time on the halachas. And then they have a professional comes down and he teaches everyone how to write, you know, and he goes over with you again and again, and he helps you. It's a lot to learn. There's an enormous amount to learn to become a cipher. A lot of people do this. A lot of people learn this stuff and then they give up right away, like me. But it was a very fascinating. And when you learn how to write in a letter to Sefer Torah, the way it works is you basically put down on the paper, on the parchment, a drop of ink. A blotch of ink, and then you pull it. You pull the ink into the design that you want. We don't look at it like that. Today we all have ballpoint pens, or we have pencils, or we have today they have very sophisticated pens. Gel. I love the gel pens. I would not even use anything other than a gel pen. They cost the same thing. They cost maybe 10 cents more. I have some very good expensive gel pens. I have a whole collection of gel pens. I love certain types of pens. And when you write with a pen, it's magic. You touch the paper and there's an ink. And you write exactly the way you want. This is a modern type of writing that did not exist in ancient times. In ancient times, the way you write is you dip the quill into the inkwell, and you have ink, and when your quill touches the paper, a lot of that ink, a good significant amount of that ink, just drops on the parchment, and then you use your quill to pull it. You mamish pull the ink to its desired destination. You moishech hakav hola. To pull the ink. You have a blotch of ink and you pull it to where you want, and you do very fine. Everything that you do in writing in the Sefer Torah is through an act of being moisheich. You start with a reservoir of ink. It's part of it is in your colmus, and then it hits the paper, and more often than not, a lot of that ink just is deposited on the parchment. And then you use your tool, your colmus, to pull it, to guide it, direct it where you want it to go in order to form a very precise letter. This is nothing what we do today. Today, as you write, the ink is deposited. As you go along, these things are done with these computers and lasers with such precision where as you put the pen on the paper, exactly there is where the ink is deposited, and just remove the paper in order to make the tsura sois. It's a whole different type of writing. Over here, when you're dealing with making the menorah out of gold, gold is soft. It's very soft. And you basically start off with a chunk of gold, and you pull it like Play-Doh. You pull it to the form that you want. If not for the other Rashi that says the words choisech, you get the impression from the word mikshe, there is no chiseling. Okay, Rashi says there is, but that's only secondary. You almost get the impression that when they made the menorah, there was nothing removed. There was no waste. There was no psoilas. You know, when they talk about the luchos. Pesol lucha, Hashem says to Moshe, take a stone, and we're going to chisel out, and I'm going to write on the stone the Aseres Hadibros. So it's Hashem magically took a chisel, and the stone is hard. If you want to go and etch something into the stone, there's nowhere for it to go. The only place for it to go to get the letters to appear is for it to leave. It is removed from the stone. With gold, you don't need to get rid of anything. Gold is like Play-Doh. You just stick your hands in and you move it. You move it over. It's one chunk of gold and you move it, you manipulate it. It's like writing. You have ink and you pull it. You pull it in the direction that you want. And at the end you have, wow, a beautiful letter. You have the letter Shin. Has three branches. And there's space in between. And there are tagim on the top. There's no waste. When you write a letter, you don't erase anything. You start with a blotch of ink. You put down the blotch of ink on the parchment. And you pull it. You pull it. And you pull it in exactly, there's a lot of detail in the Ksivas Oisius. An enormous amount of detail. But there's no erasing. There's no erasing. It's the same thing with making the menorah. You start off with a chunk of gold. Gold, pure gold, is like Play-Doh. It's not hard. I mean, it's hard, but it's not super hard. And you can use your tools to move it, to maneuver, and to shape the branches and the design that you want without there being anything to chisel away. Because this is not stone. Okay, that's not the common understanding. When you go tell someone they take the eshes of gold and they make the menorah, they get the impression right away they're taking a hammer, the chisel, and they're cutting away. The word mikshe means one, it means to pull. It's a beautiful Rashi. Mikshe targumoy migid, l'shoin hamshocha, shemamshich. You start, there's no waste, there's no psoiles. Shemamshich esho evarim, you move the branches. Mino eshes, from the chunk of gold, lekan ulekan, behakoshas akurnis, by banging. I guess it's hard to a degree, so you can't just do it with your bare hands. It's not mamish Play-Doh. You need to go use some instruments to do it, to move it along, to push it into the right location. But nothing is cut. It's in the way. So you maneuver by moving it to the right location. Lashon miksha, mikan ulkan, ba'akosha kornis, lashon miksha, mikad means makas kornis, belaz, it means the hitting of the kornos, but it's lashon miksha. First, the Targum says negid. It's a very hard Rashi. And then Rahat, lashon miksha, it means to hit. So I don't know what Rashi is trying to do. Rashi is trying to say that that it means to hit, or does it mean to pull? I guess it means both. Now, what's very important, though, is that in the previous Rashi, Rashi said, how do you make the menorahs? Kiderech ha-tsarim shakarim b'laz elakula bo mi'chatichachas. Umakish b'kurnas. Okay, that's good. You hit. And Rashi, the next Rashi, explains that the hitting is there just to pull it, to maneuver it. But then he says something that's very, very critical. V'choseich b'chli ha'umis. I'm not even sure that means that it's psoilus. Choseich means you cut. I think it means what it means is the choseich means you cut the location in order to make the branches. You have a chunk of metal, you have to make a cut. And then you make the cut, you mold the branches, the seven branches, where they should be. But nothing goes to waste. I think most of us, when we read these words of v'choseich b'chli ha'umis, means when you finish the menorah, you have on the table a lot of leftovers, right? Is that how you understand it? You have a chunk of gold, and you take a chisel, and you start chiseling away in order to form the tzura of the seven branches. And if you start with a chunk of gold, the end's going to be, there's going to be parts that you cut away that are not part of the menorah. They're leftovers. Who got the leftovers? No. It would appear there are no leftovers. There's no chiseling. There's no psoilus. The cutting is to guide, let's say you have a chunk of gold, and you cut, make incisions in the chunk of gold that should be seven branches. And then you work with the metal, you shape it, that it should be perfectly the way you want it to look. But there's nothing that's being cut off and thrown away. That's what appears Rashi is coming to teach you. Mixture is...
Yeah. It seems to me like you've been describing glassmakers make figures. They don't cut, but they push, they pull.
That's what it seems to... That's exactly what it seems to be the pshat in the menorah. The same thing. Even with stone, the luchas, pisal lucha, right? You got to cut. You cut. When Hashem etched on the luchas, the aseres dibros. Stone, you can't, it's not soft. There's nothing to move around. Is what it, you want to go get something out of the way? You got to remove it. You got to cut it out of the way. The menorah, you don't cut nothing. You make cuts. You have a chunk of gold in order that, okay, we'd have seven branches. So you make a cut here, cut there, just to enable you to now bend it this way and that way, and you may use special tools to bend it and to shape it, but everything can be molded, because metal, gold, is a soft metal, and if you have the skill, you can mold it into the right shape. That's miksha. Okay, this to me is a chiddush. It's not the way, I never understood it like that. I always thought miksha, I always thought the menorah was like the luchas. They chisel away, and the leftover pieces went back into the Beis HaMikdash, and they did with it whatever they did with it. So this is what it says. Miksha, look at these two rashis, nachma. Miksha te'osa menorah, shelo yasena chulyos. First of all, it says, don't make the menorah as a candelabra where it's meant lechatchila to be taken apart. No. Number two, don't go and make it in pieces and then weld it together. Okay? This is not, there's no assembly for the menorah. This is not something you buy a chandelier and you have to assemble it before you put it up. And even if it comes in the box all pre-assembled, you give a careful look, you see that they welded it together in the factory. No, 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 that's not the way it goes. It starts out as one massive piece. Kiderech hazav ela kula ba'a mechaticha achas. Period. There's no waste. Umakish b'kornis. You take a special utensil and you bang. V'choseich b'chli ha'umnis. You cut. But you don't cut off. You make incisions in order to help you guide and mold the object into its ultimate desired shape. The choisech b'chli ha'umnis mafrid hakonim eilich ve'eilich. Okay, miksha. Next Rashi, miksha Targuma in this nogid, that's what it says in the Targum. Lashon Hamshaka means the gid means to pull. Shemamshif esoyvadim in a eshes l'kan, you pull the limbs of the menorah from here to the air. Ba'koshas akornis, lashon mikshemakas kornis. Then he has an old French word, kemodoldo nokshon, they bang. Okay, you bang on it. Te'osem menorah, so over here it says, it shall be made. Which basically means that Moshe, at the end was, he didn't do it. He couldn't do it, it was too hard. So shall it be made. It should say ta'aseh, not te'oseh. Me'olecha, me'olecha by itself, l'fishohi Moshe miskashe bo. Torah is revealing us a secret. That Moshe, it was too difficult. He couldn't figure out what to do. Omar aleichah, the Shbaruch Hu, Moshe, forget it. I see you can't do it. Give up. Just throw the gold into the fire and I'll do it for you. It'll be made by itself. And by the way, there's a lot of drush on this, and that means the menorah is a marshal for learning Torah. And the truth is, learning Torah is divine. There's no way a person can really master anything in Torah. It's too complicated. You do yours. You go, you make a couple of cuts, you start kvetching a little here, a little there, and then at the end it's going to happen is the Eish Menas Shemayim comes down and it's given to you on a silver platter. And you see, I once read somewhere is that a person, if a person works his head off to understand one daf Gemara, and then and the next 1,000 are given to him as a gift. It just goes. It just seeps into his head almost. It's just like the person, there are certain times a person gets really stuck on something. And he has to really, really exert himself to understand and to review and try again and try again and try again. And that effort, Hashem pays back by somehow just naturally, you get things just click and things, yeah, the siyata d'shmaya in understanding very difficult concepts. That's the marshal to the menorah. Moshe, I tell all this detail what to do. It says, Moshe, you'll do the best that you can do. You'll do your hishtadlus, but at the end of the day, it's going to be te'oseh. It's going to happen by itself. The menorah will be made by me'olecha. If you show Moshe miskash above, omelo kashmach lechashach azgigol le'or v'hinaseis me'olecha. L'kach nichtav, that's why it says ta'aseh, which turns into te'oseh. Okay, next. It says here the word yirecha. What is the word yirecha? Yirecha hu haregel shalamata ha'osukim in teva. This is very, very important. This is the arch of Titus. On the arch of Titus, is there the yirecha is the box. There is a box on the bottom. Ha'osukim in teva u'shloisha raglayim yoytzim imen lamata. There are 3 legs that come out from the bottom. See, now that we have the computer, okay, I want to show you something on the computer. The arch of Titus. Let's look at the arch of Titus. Can you see this on the computer? Okay, can you see this? Oh, Mayor can't see this because Mayor is... Let's see, where is the arch of Titus? One second over here. It's in the way here. The Arch of Titus. Let's find the arch here. Okay. Rabbi Lazer, can you see this?
Yeah, I see it.
And see it? Mr. Gladder, can you see this? The Arch of Titus?
Yes.
So here supposedly, this is the menorah, right? Supposedly, what happened over here? They want my email address. What happened? My picture disappeared.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, but now you could.
1 second. Okay, you see the menorah here? Supposedly, this is the menorah. Supposedly, from 2,000 years ago. Problem is, we have the legs. over here on the bottom, you see over here a double box. You see this on the bottom over here? Where are the three legs? Where are the three legs? Let me go back to the Rashi. Rashi here says, Yurecha, hu horegel shalamata. Ha'osui kimin teva, the bottom is made like a box. Ushloisha raglayim yoitzen heimenu ulamata. There are three legs that come out from it on the bottom. Where are the three legs? Where are the three legs? There's kimin teva. Okay, I guess kimin teva, chvesnish, that's the teva, that's the box in the bottom. Where are the three legs that come out on the bottom? What happened to the three legs? So this is a very big mystery. That's why some even want to suggest that this is not the menorah. This is not the menorah. This is they found the candelabra. They found their candelabra. You want to say the artist didn't draw it correctly? You want to say that it broke while they were schlepping it? Maybe while they were schlepping it from Eretz Yisrael to Rome, maybe it broke. It broke, it fell off. Or you want to say that this wasn't the menorah. This was, they found, you know, they had a lot of menorahs in the Beis HaMikdash. They needed light. There were a lot of menorahs. There were a lot of extensive things they found there. There was tons of things there. There was enormous wealth. This isn't the menorah. This is Tom. There was a candelabra, a light fixture, a chandelier. People have in their homes very fancy chandeliers. Okay, when it comes Hanukkah and everyone opens up their window shade and you walk down the street, wow, nice chandelier in there. Who says that this is the menorah? Okay, let's see if we find another picture of the menorah. The Arch of Titus. Here's another picture. Let's see. Nah, this is not, this is this name. Let's see. There's a color picture. I think in YU, they in the museum, they were able to colorize. They were able to give it color. Yeah, here you can see another. This is a pretty good picture. Okay, try to enlarge it a little bit more. Okay, you see here's the menorah? Where are the legs? Where are the legs of the menorah? Here's Kamin Teva. Also, why there are two layers? There are two layers. And where are the legs? All right, so, and also, you know, you have to go look at all the details. You know, they're able to study this, that this was originally painted gold. It was painted. Today, it's nothing is there. Today, it's been weathered for 2,000 years. They're able to study it and take microscopic, you know, pieces off it and put under a microscope, and they're able to determine that this was originally painted when it was on the arch. Everything was painted. By the way, what's this? I went through the whole article. What are all these things? What is this? Mazeh, what in the world is this thing that the guy is holding? What's this? These are trumpets? What's this? The Mizbeach? It's very, what is this exactly? What is this thing the guy is holding over here on the top? I don't know. I read an article and they try to explain. Look how they're dressed. Look how they're dressed. By the way, who are these people? These are Jews. These are our ancestors. We're related to these people. It could very well be these are our great-grandparents. Who knows? It can very well be that these people over here, you see over here, it can very well be these are our great-grandparents. They had children before this happened to them, or they had children afterwards in Rome. These are Jews, that's for sure. The Jews were slaves. They took them as slaves and they forced the Jews to carry this item. Who are these people? Okay, these were Jews. They say about that is that Hashem did not allow Goyim to touch the menorah. Hashem arranged it. It was too painful for Hashem that a Goy, a Shegetz, should go and take our menorah. So if there had to be a Chorban and the menorah had to be taken out, it would be taken out by Jews. Jews brought it there, Jews are going to take it out. Obviously, it was not very pleasant for them to take it out. They're breaking their back on these poles, carrying it. Okay, but this is a very fascinating thing. This Titus, he did the Jews a very big favor by making this arch. Because if they didn't make the arch of Titus, I guarantee you, they would claim there was never Beis HaMikdash. They would claim it's only because Titus, he had them make this thing 2,000 years ago, and to record, even wrote on the bottom, that we know that the Goyim can't go and deny the fact that there was once a Beis HaMikdash, and he destroyed it, and he conquered it. Because if there wasn't the Arch of Titus, they would say, it never happened, for sure. They'll deny the whole thing, just like they deny everything. And if you'll go and you'll say there was a Beis, they'll say that you make up things. And so Titus, for his own glory, he made this. But the truth is, he did us the biggest favor. no one can deny. Here it is. Look how many pictures there are. So many pictures there are. Okay, so many pictures. All different angles. The best one is in YU. They have a museum in YU, Yeshiva University. And they took the Arch of Titus and they did something. They reconstructed it in color with incredible detail. Arch of Titus, Yeshiva University. I think this is it. Yeah, look what they did. This is amazing. We should all go to Yeshiva University and see this. Life-size replica. Hey, look at this. Wait, it's not so clear here. It's terrible, I can't see it. Picture's not clear. Can't see this picture, terrible. Oh. Now this is better. And what's three? Look what they did. Yeshiva University, look what they did. You see what they did? They try to replicate it. Oops. This is what it looks like. This is two. They fixed it up. And here they add color to it. Isn't that amazing? This is what it looks like now. It's cycling by itself. This is a cleaned up version. We stop it. Let's see. Look, what is this? What is this thing over here? They have over here trumpets, sacra. I don't know what these things are. These are signs they're holding. Look, they're holding sticks in their hand. Look how they're dressed. All right, let's go back for another Rashi. So the Yirei Chalchu, HaRegel Shalamata HaOsik Min Teva, U'Shloisha Raglayim Yoitzim Himen Melamat, there are three legs. The Kone, what's the Kone? Kone Ha'im Tzoy Shaloh, the center shaft, Shaloh Ha'oile Be'emsa HaYorech Zokuf Klapi Mala. The center of the menorah is called the Kone. The olive and upon that was Ner Ha'im Tzoy, Osik Min Bozeich. The nair is like a container. Lotzuk Hashem l'soicha v'losis apsil. You pour the oil inside, and you put the psil inside. Givyeha are cups. Hein min koisois cups shoisin mizuchuchis that are made from glass. Aruchin, they're long, they're tall, but they're narrow. V'karin lochem blas. V'elu asuin shalzad, they're made from gold. Bolton v'yotzin we call kone v'kone kamin. Kiminyan shenasan from a cause the pasuk says, lohayuba elalinoi, the only surf of beauty, and the kaf to adech, these are apples. Kimin tapuchim hayu agulim misaviv boltim svivois hakoneh emtsoy, they surround the center shaft, around the koneh emtsoy, kedech shoysim luminoresh lufnei hasanim like princes, v'koyin lachem whatever minyan shlachem cause the parasha v'kama kama kaftem boltim men v'kama cholok v'kama how many stick out v'kama cholok. How much empty space been kaftor le kaftor? Ufurachecha tziurim, images asim bokimin perachim like flowers. Nimenu hakol mikshe yoytze mitecha chetichas asoeshes v'lo yase levadom v'yad b'kein. All of these things are all part of the original piece of glass. Do not attach them to the metal. So let's maybe take a look over here and try to find online the menorah temple menorah. Let's see if we can find a good image over here. Images. The temple menorah. Oh, we have a lot of images. We have so many, they don't even know where to start. So let's take a look. Let's see which one do we want to look at that looks good for us. Let's take a look at this one. Okay, let's take a look at this one. Okay. Now, could you see this thing over here is the kaftar. There's a kaf. This thing is called the kaftar. There are three. One, two, three. These are called the kaftarim. The center, they call apples. A tapuach. Under the tapuach, you have three givim. These are like little glass cups. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. One, two, three. And on the bottom, you have another one over here on the bottom. And everything is designed with prochim, flowers. Here's a perach. Here's all three together. On the bottom is a geviyah, one geviyah, a kaftar, and prochim, flowers. Here you only have a geviyah, three more geviyah, a kaftar, one more time. A geviyah on the very bottom. Then you have a kaftar, and then you have prochim, a kaftar, three geviyim, a kaftar, and on top are parochim, flowers. And then on the very top, this is my way, I can't see, if it moves out of the way, 1 second, this is in the way. These are the neros. On top of the flowers are the neros. The neros where the oil goes. Let's look at another picture, in contrast. Another picture, okay? Each picture has a unique chiddush. Let's see. Look at this picture. This picture, it's pretty similar to the other picture. So let's go get another one. I don't like this one. Let's look at this one. Everyone likes to make their own picture. Art Scroll has their version. See, this is a nice version. See over here. Now, I don't know why they do this. It says a box. I don't know where in the world they're getting over here a double box. There's a box here. They show you it has six sides, one layer and another one. I don't know where they're getting that from. But you see over here the kaftarim, one, two, three. You see the gevim, the kaftarim. And then here they show the flowers. And on the top are the neros. Some hold, not like Rashi, the neros were detachable. You can actually take the thing on top out. Everything else has to be one piece. The branches, again, the three kaftarim. Let's see another example. Look at this one. Look at this guy. Who designed this one over here? The menorah here. Look at this one. Okay, where's the box? This doesn't appear to be accurate. Where's the box? What's on the bottom over here? I don't know. I don't like this one. This one over here. They're doing something over here. They're putting the gevim too far apart. A gevi. See what over here? They put the gevim far apart. It should all be on the top, connected. Maybe not. You see, this sheet that put the three gevim, they separated them. Everyone has a different idea of what it looks like. A chabad. Chabad. How come there no chabad menorahs here? How could there be no chabad menorahs? Shocking. Chabad. All right, slowly, we have to stop at Chabad. You see the Chabad?
There was no Chabad then. It was before Chabad.
Here's the Chabad. No, Chabad, it's a V.
Didn't come into 2,000 years later.
See, here's the Chabad. See, the Chabad, they held that it was a V. Same thing, but everything, you see, all the Chabad menorahs are all Vs. See, Vs. They make the menorah. See the same thing. They show, no, that's not the menorah. Here's a good example. Here's the Chabad menorah. Okay, we'll stop with this. Chabad. Objection to Rambam's menorah. The whole article coming to reject the Chabad menorah. See, Chabad. See what they made over here? This Haveva, the Gondel was a V. I can't enlarge it more. But you see over here, you have the three Gevim, 1, 2, 3. There's the Kaftar and there's the Ferach. The bottom also, but it's round on the bottom. Why do they make it round? Supposedly the Rambam drew this picture. The Rambam drew this picture. And the Rambam held, Rambam shows there's a Gevia, Kaftar, the Perach, three Gevim. Did the Rambam really write this? No one knows. He made it round on the bottom. Rashi says it's like a box. Could be he disagrees with Rashi. See, everyone likes, if you ask a Chabad, a Lubavitcher Hasid, they will tell you the Shem of the seven, the gold, and some branches of the seven, which was gave this form, was a nine, to the nine branch Hanukkah used to be, was not rounded, as appeared in the middle of the state of Israel in the Archdeus, based on by Maimonides. 800 years ago, Chabad says, tell them our branch emerged 45 degrees. However, that theory is now facing challenge in the form of a new book published by Temple Institute of Jerusalem, the elegantly designed book titled The Menorah of Pure Gold pulls the scholarly rug out from under Chabad's differently shaped candelabra. Okay, pretty good, huh? Go to the whole thing over here. They try to slug it up. They slug up the Rambam's Menorah. Who says the Rambam ever wrote this, by the way? All right, we did the Rashi's at least to get a little bit of time. All right, everybody, so have a wonderful day. Good night. Tomorrow we'll do Targum.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see some Chiddush from the Targum.
Good night.
Okay, sei gesund, sei gesund.
Good night.
Good night, good night, good night.